Welcome, everyone, to this Lord's Day worship service. Welcome to those who are in through in the church hall. Hello to those who are listening at home, and to all who are gathered here in the church hall where I am. We have quite a few absentees today. There's a few people that are that have tested positive for COVID, and others in their family circle are isolating just to make sure there isn't anything passed on. We have other folk away on holidays and some in hospital. So a variety of different things keep people away today. Also, the two men that do the sound are not here. So Ross is deputizing. So I hope things work with the sound today. The announcements I have for this week are as follows. Evening service, God willing, here tonight at 7:30. Monday evening at 7:30 is the Northern Presbytery prayer time via Zoom. That's a monthly meeting, first Monday of each month. 7:30 running for about an hour, and that's due to be led by Edward McCollum. Wednesday evening, then, the session is due to meet here in the church hall at 8 o'clock, and we'll be considering our arrangements for the autumn season and what changes, if any, we can make. So pray, remember that in meeting in prayer. Friday evening this week is the installation of Harry Coulter as the new minister in Enniskillen RP Church. That's at 7:30 on Friday evening. I'm intending to go there, and I will represent Kilrats. I'm not aware of anyone else who's intending to go. From here, that is next Lord's Day, God willing, Sabbath school classes will resume. I said that last week, and it turned out not to be suitable. But we hope that next Sabbath day, the Sabbath school classes will resume. If anything happens to prevent that, I will let parents and teachers know via the church WhatsApp group, because you're all on that need to know. Next Lord's Day, then, Sabbath school classes at 11, and the worship services at 12 noon and 7:30. Now, next Sabbath would be due to be our pre-communion worship service prior to the communion services then on the 19th of September. I've mentioned previously a need for people to serve on the local committee for the Covenanter Flats, and that is still as big a need as it was back in February time. And so that's something to consider. If you would be able to help out with the work of the Covenanter Flats, you can let me know if that's something you would consider doing. The Messenger magazine has now gone online, so there are no more paper copies that are being produced. There are articles being placed on the Messenger website, and each new edition of the Covenanter Witness magazine will have something that would have been in the Messenger. So today is the first issue of the new format Covenanter Witness. There's a new editor, Philip Dunwoody, and it's a new format, and this is the first one. So these are out today. The Covenanter Witness magazine, and those are on the table, whatever table you passed on the way in, there are a good number of copies of that magazine there. Friday, the 17th of September, in Cullibackie at 7:30, the licensure of Paul Wallace is due to take place. I had said last week that I thought that was open to anyone to attend, but the Cullibackie men at Presbytery said that it's not really an open meeting because of they just want to keep the numbers small. So it'll just be members of Presbytery and the Wallace family and some Cullibackie folk. I withdraw the general invitation to that licensure on Friday the 17th. I will need to be there as minister, and one of our elders will need to be there as it's a presbytery meeting. This this week on Thursday evening, hope to have a meeting of the older ones in the senior CY to talk about arrangements for senior CY for this new term. But there is a presbytery CY event coming up on Friday the 17th. It's the same night as Paul Wallace's licensure. And that's a games night, and it's due to be here in Clarratz. So that would be the first CY event of the year. Friday the 17th, Northern Presbytery CY games night. There'll be more information about that next Lord's Day. Those are the announcements that I have for today. So we come to the worship of God now. We commence our worship joining together in prayer. So if you're able, please stand as we pray. We return thanks to you for this new Lord's Day that you've brought us to. And we thank you, O Lord, for many Lord's Days that there have been in our lifetime and before we ever came into this world. We thank you for the mighty things that you are in the habit of doing on the Lord's Day. We thank you that it was this day on which our Lord Jesus rose from the dead. We thank you that you've been pleased to work throughout the world in different times of revival, with great numbers of people being converted through the preaching of your word, often on the Lord's Day. And we pray that you will work again this Lord's Day. We pray for those who would normally be among us here in Clarratz who are not able to be here. We pray that you be with people in their different situations, in hospital or at home or away. And we ask, Lord, that you will draw near to them and help them to remember you and to seek you today. We ask for the work of your Spirit among us as we seek to worship you. We thank you for the scriptures that we have, for the truth that is found in your word. We thank you, Lord, that your word tells us the things that we need to know and that we need to believe. And we pray that you'll give us, O Lord, hearts that are not hearts of stone. We pray that we will not be those for whom it won't matter what it says in your word, but we pray that you'll give us hearts that are sensitive and soft to what you say to us. We pray that we would have hearts that are eager to do what Almighty God would want us to do and to believe in the Savior that you have provided for us. Lord, hear our prayers, forgive us our sins, and bless us in this time together. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen. In God's Word from the book of 2 Samuel. You'll turn, please, to chapter 37 in the book of Psalms, and I want to read the whole of Psalm 37. It's page 498 in our Church Pew Bible, Psalm 37, which is a Psalm of David. A Psalm of David written not when he was a young fellow, he hadn't experienced too much in life, but written when he was an old man who had experienced a great many things in life. And the wisdom of this older man comes to us here as part of God's word, Psalm 37. Let us hear the word of God. Do not fret because of evildoers, nor be envious of the workers of iniquity. For they shall soon be cut down like the grass and wither as the green herb. Trust in the Lord and do good. Dwell in the land and feed on his faithfulness. Delight yourself also in the Lord, and he shall give you the desires of your heart. Commit your way to the Lord. Trust also in him, and he shall bring it to pass. He shall bring forth your righteousness as the light, and your justice as the noonday. Rest in the Lord, and wait patiently for him. Do not fret because of him who prospers in his way, because of the man who brings wicked schemes to pass. Cease from anger and forsake wrath. Do not fret, it only causes harm. For evildoers shall be cut off, But those who wait on the Lord, they shall inherit the earth. For yet a little while, and the wicked shall be no more. Indeed, you will look carefully for his place, but it shall be no more. But the meek shall inherit the earth, and shall delight themselves in the abundance of peace. The wicked plots against the just, and gnashes at him with his teeth. The Lord laughs at him, for he sees that his day is coming. The wicked have drawn the sword and have bent their bow, to cast down the poor and needy, to slay those who are of upright conduct. Their sword shall enter their own heart, and their bows shall be broken. A little that a righteous man has is better than the riches of many wicked. For the arms of the wicked shall be broken, but the Lord upholds the righteous. The Lord knows the days of the upright, and their inheritance shall be forever. They shall not be ashamed in the evil time, and in the days of famine they shall be satisfied. But the wicked shall perish, and the enemies of the Lord, like the splendor of the meadows, shall vanish. Into smoke they shall vanish away. The wicked borrows and does not repay, but the righteous shows mercy and gives. For those blessed by him shall inherit the earth, but those cursed by him shall be cut off. The steps of a good man are ordered by the Lord, and he delights in his way. Though he fall, he shall not be utterly cast down, for the Lord upholds him with his hand. I have been young and now am old, yet I have not seen the righteous forsaken, nor his descendants begging bread. He is ever merciful and lends, and his descendants are blessed. Depart from evil and do good and dwell forevermore, for the Lord loves justice and does not forsake his saints. They are preserved forever, but the descendants of the wicked shall be cut off. The righteous shall inherit the land and dwell in it forever. The mouth of the righteous speaks wisdom, and his tongue talks of justice. The law of his God is in his heart. None of his steps shall slide. The wicked watches the righteous and seeks to slay him. The Lord will not leave him in his hand, nor condemn him when he is judged. Wait on the Lord and keep his way, and he shall exalt you to inherit the land. When the wicked are cut off, you shall see it. I have seen the wicked in great power and spreading himself like a native green tree. Yet he passed away, and behold, he was no more. Indeed, I sought him, but he could not be found. Mark the blameless man and observe the upright, for the future of that man is peace. But the transgressors shall be destroyed together. The future of the wicked shall be cut off. But the salvation of the righteous is from the Lord. He is their strength in the time of trouble. And the Lord shall help them and deliver them. He shall deliver them from the wicked and save them, because they trust in him. And so reads God's own true word. I normally speak to the children at this stage, but I'm going to do that during my sermon today. So come now to the Lord in prayer. And last week we were praying for Raymond's surgery that was imminent, and we're thankful today that surgery did go ahead, and we pray for Raymond as he recovers after the surgery that he's had. Then we have various folk in the congregation who have tested positive for COVID and have been ill to some extent. We remember Joyce and Grace and Dan. Pray for a full recovery for them. Joyce's mum is ill in hospital with COVID, so remember her also, and others in our congregation who are housebound, not able to be with us in these days. Let us then come to God in prayer. If you're able, please stand as we pray. Our Lord and Father in heaven, we thank you for the fact that you are the God who invites your children to come to you in prayer, and you invite us to come with confidence, believing that our Father in heaven will hear the requests of his children and will do what is good in response to them. We come to you, Lord, and we are conscious of our own sin. We're conscious that we don't deserve any good thing from you because we have sinned against you in so many ways. We have not done the things that we've read about here in this psalm that we're supposed to do, and we've done many of the things that we're warned that we should not do. And Lord, we confess how we've gone astray. We confess, Lord, that we've not looked as if we are the children of God at all. Forgive us, O Lord, for our sins, whether we are unbelievers who've never been anything else, or whether we are believers who continue to sin against you. Lord, we look to you for forgiveness and pardon in Jesus Christ. We return thanks, Lord, for these days that we're living in. We thank you for some nice warmth that we've had in the past week and some pleasant sunshine. We thank you for the prospect of some rain to water the ground again. And we return thanks, Lord, for answering our prayers in regard and that the surgeon was pleased with what was done. We pray for Raymond just in all the difficulties of recovering after major surgery. We pray that you'll give great wisdom to those who look after him, and we pray that you will grant him progress in his recovery, grant him renewed strength. We pray that the pain from the surgery will reduce, that infections will that you're the one watching over him. Pray for Ellen that you'll be and help her as she waits to hear each day what the news is. And we give thanks that she has some opportunity to visit Raymond. And we pray that those two that she will see progress in Raymond as the days go past. We pray, Lord, for others who are not well in these days. We pray for those who are will be effective, and that she will come through this. Attracted, pray for the you for your mercies in these things. We pray for many households that have been affected one way or another. Pray for many who are mourning at the loss of loved ones. And we pray, Lord, for those who work in hospital situations and other parts of the health service. Gospel ministry and are now beginning their graduate placements, and we pray for Paul working in Collibaki, for Paul Wallace in Pally, and for John Coulter in Bally. These men, O Lord, they will be in charge. We thank you for the event coming up in Enniskillen. We pray for the installation of Harry Coulter due on Friday evening, and we pray, O Lord, that you will be with the Coulter family in all the changes that they're experiencing in these times. We pray that you will help Harry as he enters into the ministry in Enniskillen to be able to decide the best way of going about things. And we pray for Trevor Wills, the elder there in Enniskillen, that Harry and Trevor will be able to work well together. And we pray these things, delight in these things, and shape our lives in response to what we see in the Scriptures. And so we pray all now in and through Jesus Christ, our Lord and Savior. Amen. It's okay on this, it's quite clear, so I think it's okay. Yep. Well, we've read today the words of Psalm 37, and that's what I want to preach on today, this psalm. I want to speak just in terms of an overview of this psalm. There's a lot in this psalm. It's the kind of psalm that every time you read it, there's maybe something different that you'll see in it and that will catch your attention. And I'm not going to touch on everything that's found in this psalm. It's a psalm that is full of wisdom. It teaches us a lot about what we should expect in this world that we're living in. But it also reminds us that we need to take a longer view. And we need to remember that there is an eternal age to come. There is this life that we're living that lasts a little while. But there's an everlasting life that follows on and an everlasting age that follows on. And it's not so much how things are with us today that matters, but rather it is how things will be with us forever that matters. Because forever is a whole lot longer than today. And so in thinking of what this psalm teaches us, I want to begin by noting the counsel, the advice, the commands that were given at the start of the psalm in the opening verses. We're told about how we're not to think and act, and then we're told about what we are to do instead. So the first thing I want to speak about is under the heading of the first three words here in the psalm. Do not fret. And the whole psalm is telling us, do not fret. But in particular, the opening verses of the psalm have this theme. It begins, do not fret because of evildoers, nor be envious of the workers of iniquity. And these evildoers that are mentioned here in the first verse, they come up again and again throughout the psalm. They're normally referred to as the wicked. And in Psalm 37, you just can't get away from the wicked. They just crop up again and again and again. And I think that conveys to us something of what David's life experience was and what we are to expect in this world. In this life, you just can't get away from the wicked. They are all around the people of God. And that was the experience of King David, who wrote this psalm. He wrote this psalm when he was an old man. He says so. He says, I have been young and now I am old. And David was king over God's chosen nation at that time. He was king over the most blessed nation on earth. And yet that nation, That land was full of evildoers. It was full of the wicked. And so this is how life is today. In every land where God's people are found, they are surrounded by those who, in the terminology of this psalm, are the wicked. And there are many wicked, many evildoers who are in high places in our world. They may have great wealth. They may have great fame. They may have great influence. They may have great power. But David tells us that we're not to be envious of what they have, what they are. Do not be envious of the workers of iniquity. And within the opening verses of the psalm, there's the repeated instruction that we are not to fret. And that means we're not to get all het up. We're not to get incensed and angry about how well the wicked are doing and how they seem to be able to do whatever they want. We're not to fret about them. We're not to look at the way that they're succeeding and prospering. We're not to let that dominate our thoughts. That's not to be the big thing that we think about all the time. Verse 8 tells us that we are to cease from anger. We are to forsake wrath. Do not fret. It only causes harm. Verse 7 also says, do not fret because of him who prospers in his ways. Three times God says to us, do not fret. Do not fret because of evildoers. And so that's what God commands us that we're not to do. We are not to fret. But we are human beings. And if we have been in the habit of fretting, getting annoyed at the way things are in the world, it's very difficult to just stop doing that. Always, it's very difficult to stop doing things that we've been in the habit of doing. And normally, the only way to be able to stop doing something is to replace it with something else instead. That's the tactic that usually helps. And that's what we have here in Psalm 37. And God doesn't just tell us, don't do this, but he tells us, do this instead. And so that's what we have. We're given a list from verse 3 onwards of various things that we are to do instead of fretting and being envious. Verse 3, we're told simply that we need to trust in the Lord and do good. We're told that we need to dwell in the land and feed on his faithfulness. We're to dwell in the land. We're to hold our ground. We're not to let ourselves get carried away and worked up about things because we're to remember the Lord himself. We're to trust in him. We're to feed on his faithfulness. The times when we fret about things are the times when we've really forgotten about God and how great he is and how faithful he is. We have to trust in the Lord. Verse 4 tells us we have to delight ourselves also in the Lord. And what happens when you delight yourself in the Lord? We're told that he shall give you the desires of your heart. And if you delight in the Lord, he will give you himself. God will not withhold himself from those who choose to delight in him. And we need to remember how great and wonderful the Lord is. Think about that rather than thinking how terrible the world is. Delight in the Lord, and he'll give you the desires of your heart. Verse 5, we're told, commit your way to the Lord. Trust also in him, and he shall bring it to pass. And for the children, whenever I was a boy, I had various different books that I enjoyed reading. And one of them was the older folk will probably know it, a Ladybird book, and it was about a Scottish man called David Livingstone. David Livingstone was born, I think, 1815, died in 1875. And he was a very ordinary child, grew up in a very ordinary home. And he became a great explorer. And he was a man who went into parts of Africa that no white man had ever gone into before. And he explored different difficult areas and traveled up rivers and thousands of miles. His life was at great risk. He was a missionary. He was seeking to bring the good news of Jesus Christ to people that had never even heard about Jesus Christ. He didn't want to be a missionary that worked in places where other missionaries had been, but he wanted to go into new places, and he wanted to see these barren areas won for Christ. And he gave himself amazingly to that work. And in his day, he became very famous, and people throughout Britain had heard of David Livingstone. Here was this man exploring Africa and going places nobody had ever been to before. And sometimes they just didn't know where he was because there was no telephones or anything like that in those days. And he disappeared for years. And David Livingstone, when he was a boy, he learned the scriptures. And his granny was of Scottish Covenanter background, and he learned the Psalms. And when David Livingstone was at primary school, he learned Psalm 119. There are 176 verses in Psalm 119, and as a primary school boy, David Livingstone learned that psalm. Now, he did make 5 mistakes reciting it, but he won the prize for being able to do it without making too many mistakes. It takes a lot of effort to memorize all of Psalm 119. And there were other psalms that he learnt and psalms that he memorized and psalms that stuck with him throughout his life. And if there was one verse above all verses that he carried with him as his motto in life, it was Psalm 37, verse 5. Commit your way to the Lord. Trust also in him, and he shall bring it to pass. And David Livingstone died as an explorer and as a missionary in Africa. And he was found dead on his knees in prayer at his bed. And before him on his bed was his Bible, opened at the book of Psalms. And God's word had guided him in life. God's word gave him strength and helped him to keep going. And always he committed his way to the Lord. He trusted in the Lord. And he believed that the Lord would bring him through. And the things that you learn in Sabbath school can be things that can be very, very precious to you and a real help to you throughout your life. So children, remember David Livingstone. He became a highly, highly respected person in Britain in his day. And he is buried in Westminster Abbey, given that honor of being buried there in that great church building at the heart of London. Psalm 37, verse 5. Commit your way to the Lord. Don't fret, but rather commit your way to the Lord. Trust also in him. In verse 7, God tells us that we're to rest in the Lord and wait patiently for him. We're to believe that our God is good. We're to believe that God has good and wise purposes for all his children and servants. And those purposes will prevail at the right time. Wait patiently for him. And so this is what we're to do. We're not to fret, but we are to trust. We are to delight, and we are to rest. And these things are much, much better than fretting and envying. If you want to cease from one, then you have to commence the other. You'll never just manage to stop fretting unless you learn to trust in the Lord, delight in Him, commit your way to Him, rest in Him. The Lord Jesus Christ was not a fretter. The Lord Jesus was not an envier. He didn't want to be what anyone else was. And He committed Himself to serving His Father in heaven. And the way of Jesus is the good way. And in following the counsel of this psalm, we will be following the Lord Jesus Christ. So at the start of the psalm, we're told, do not fret. Well, then, the second thing I want to speak about is about the wicked. The wicked, now and then. Throughout the psalm, we're told about the wicked. In this psalm, you can't get away from the wicked. Now, it's always easier to do something hard or something painful if you can see some benefit in it, if you can see some good reason for it. And Psalm 37 tells us that we're not to fret because of evildoers, but then it gives us many reasons why that absolutely makes sense, that we shouldn't fret, shouldn't be envious of the wicked. And let's just glance through the psalm, and I'll point out a few places where God gives us good reasons why we shouldn't envy the wicked, why we shouldn't fret because of how well they seem to be getting on. Verse 2, for they shall soon be cut down like the grass and wither as the green herb. That is the future for the wicked. They will be cut down and they will wither. Verse 9 and 10, for evildoers shall be cut off for yet a little while, and the wicked shall be no more. Indeed, you shall look carefully for his place, but it shall be no more. The wicked will be cut down. The wicked will be cut off. In this world, they can make a lot of noise. They can issue many threats and be a great danger to God's people. The psalm talks about in verse 12, about their plotting and about gnashing their teeth at the righteous. Well, God isn't afraid at all the goings-on of the wicked. They are no threat whatsoever to Him. God knows what is coming. God knows who will have the last laugh. God knows that the day of judgment is coming for the wicked. The wicked thinks that his day is coming and it's a great day, but the Lord knows that his day is coming and it's a day of judgment. And in verse 13, we're told that the Lord laughs at him, for he sees that his day is coming. The psalm tells us that the very weapons of the wicked that they intend to use against the people of God will backfire against them. Verse 15, it says that their sword shall enter their own heart. And verse 17 speaks of how their very arms shall be broken. Verse 20 here in Psalm 37 speaks plainly about the future of the wicked. It says, but the wicked shall perish, and the enemies of the Lord, like the splendor of the meadows, shall vanish into smoke. They shall vanish away. And verse 22 says, but those cursed by him shall be cut off. The wicked shall perish. They shall vanish away like smoke. That's why we're not to envy them. That's why we're not to fret because of the way things are now. We're to remember the way things will be. The ways of the wicked are passed on from generation to generation. One of the sad things of life, we see little children being trained by godless parents in the ways of godlessness. And wickedness is passed on and passed on and passed on. It's one of the great responsibilities of being a parent. What are you going to pass on to your children? It's something that sometimes makes people think. Sometimes people pass through church and they move away from it all, do their own thing. And then maybe they don't get married, maybe they do get married, but they become fathers and mothers. And here's this little life, and it makes them think seriously about spiritual things. It makes them think about the eternal destiny of this little one that they've brought into the world, and how they will be held responsible for the direction that they point that child in. And this psalm warns us, verse 28, that the descendants of the wicked shall be cut off. Wicked pass their wickedness on to their children, and then it goes to the grandchildren, and on it goes. And in this world, we're told the wicked will always be against the righteous. Verse 32, the wicked watches the righteous and seeks to slay him. And David warns us that at times we will see that the wicked are very, very powerful. And he tells us not to fret because it won't last. Verses 35 and 36, he says, I have seen the wicked in great power and spreading himself like a native green tree. Yet he passed away, and behold, he was no more. Indeed, I sought him, but he could not be found. The powerful wicked will not last long. And as it is with the powerful wicked, so it is with the ordinary wicked. Verse 39, the transgressors shall be destroyed together. The future of the wicked shall be cut off. And so again and again, David gives us reasons why the godly are not to be envious of the wicked and not to be angry because the wicked seem to be prospering. They are like livestock that are being fattened for slaughter. And all is well with them today. But it's not today that counts. It's the day of slaughter that counts. And there is no peace for the wicked. And there will be no peace for the wicked. Psalm 37 reminds us of that again and again. The wicked now are very different from the wicked then. We're not just to think about now. We're to think about then, when their day will come. That's the second thing, the wicked now and then. And then in the third place, I want to speak about the righteous now and then. And while the wicked in this world seem sometimes to prosper, the Lord's people often seem to have many hardships, many heartaches to endure in this world. David knew much of that in his own life. And throughout this psalm, he has many words of encouragement and hope for God's people. For those who follow the Lord, there may be much unfair treatment in this world at the hands of the wicked. There may be false accusations. People who do a really good job may be thoroughly overlooked. And others promoted instead of them, simply because of their loyalty to the Lord. But not so, David assures us, not so when it is the Lord who is the assessor. Verse 6, he says, He shall bring forth your righteousness as the light, and your justice as the noonday. And these are words to encourage God's people. There will be many, many times, David assures us, that when those who follow the Lord will need to wait patiently for him, as we are told in verse 7. But David assures us it will be worth the wait. For he tells us in verse 9 that those who wait on the Lord, they shall inherit the earth. What an inheritance that is. Inherit the earth. Many people will be happy with a little tiny bit of the earth, but those who wait on the Lord shall inherit the whole earth. And that's spoken of again in verse 18. The Lord knows the days of the upright, and their inheritance shall be forever. Verse 11, we're told that the meek shall inherit the earth, and it will be theirs forever. There, people inherit things, but they don't last forever. Inheritances can be squandered in this world, but the meek shall inherit the earth, and it will be theirs forever, and it will not be squandered. And the earth that the meek shall inherit, it'll not be like this present world, where there's an abundance of trouble, an abundance of pain, an abundance of death, but rather we're told that it will be one where there is an abundance of peace. The righteous shall delight themselves in the abundance of peace, we're told in verse 11. The Lord's people, we are assured in verse 23 that when we obey him, he delights in our way. He is God delighting in his way. That's the way of his people. God's eye is upon his people. He delights in seeing the things that we do and seeking to serve him. And we're assured that although we may fall, we shall not be utterly cast down, because, verse 24, the Lord upholds him with his hand. There will be stumbles in life. There will be falls, but the Lord will uphold his own. This psalm, among other contrasts that it has a contrast in terms to wealth and attitude to wealth and handling the things of this world. The righteous and the wicked are different in their attitude to these things. Verse 21, we're told that the wicked borrows and does not repay. Whereas in verse 26, we're told that the righteous is ever merciful and lends. And those who are wicked are always wanting the things that they can't afford. And they're borrowing more than they're ever going to be able to repay. And the wicked borrows and does not repay. And our society encourages us to be those who borrow as much as we can to get what we want now, and we can pay for it later, and if we can't pay for it later, well, it'll be all right. The wicked borrows and does not repay. The righteous, on the other hand, are merciful, and they lend. They lend to those who are in need. Or in verse 21, they give to those who are in need. I was told yesterday when I was at a funeral in Drimbolg about the land on which the Drimbolg Church Hall was built, and I was told that there was a neighboring Presbyterian farmer was asked if he'd be willing to sell the church some land so that they could build a church hall on it. And the man said no. He said, "It wouldn't be possible for me to sell you some land." But he says, "I'll give it to you." He was a generous man. And he gave it away. Didn't want any money for it. Gave it away, lost himself, But he wasn't a loser. You can imagine how respected that man would be. And what a good thing that would be seen as being back over 50 years ago. And the children of the righteous who are generous, they don't lose out because their parents keep giving money to good causes or the Lord's work or whatever it might be. Because we're told in verse 26 that his descendants are blessed. It's a blessing to have generous parents. It's not a blessing to have parents that borrow and borrow and borrow and don't repay. The difference between the wicked and the righteous is seen in all sorts of ways. Verse 28 assures us that the Lord does not forsake his saints, but they are preserved forever. And God will not forsake those that God delights in. And God's people are described in various ways throughout this psalm. Sometimes they're called the righteous. Sometimes they're called the upright. Sometimes they're called his saints. Sometimes they're called the blameless. That's what God thinks of his people. And when we remember that that's how God sees those who seek to serve him, well, then that helps us to not be envious of those whom God sees in a very different light. So the psalm again and again speaks to us about the righteous now, but the righteous then. How it is for us now, but how it will be for us in God's glorious future. So the final thing I want to say briefly from this psalm is that it speaks to us about taking the long view. The closing verses of the psalm from 37 onwards exhort us to choose wisely the path in life that we will take for ourselves. We're urged to take the long view of things. We're told that as regards the upright, verse 37, the future of that man is peace. But we're told in the next verse that the future of the wicked shall be cut off. And there's the difference. You can have peace or you can be cut off. And all the trouble that comes the way of those who follow the Lord Jesus Christ, it will all be worth it. In the final two verses of the psalm, we're told, but the salvation of the righteous is from the Lord. He is their strength in the time of trouble. There will be the time of trouble, but he will be their strength in the time of trouble. And it says in verse 40, and the Lord shall help them and deliver them. He shall deliver them from the wicked and save them because they trust in him. God's people will be forever delivered from the wicked. In this psalm, you can't get away from the wicked, but this psalm tells us that forever God's people will be away from the wicked. And God has given his word that he is the God who saves. God has given us his word in this psalm that he will save everyone who trusts in him. God will deliver them because they trust in him. God has given his word, and he can do no other. And when you trust in him, you will be saved, you will be delivered, finally and completely. So let us take direction and instruction from this psalm, and let us be like David Livingstone. And let us commit our way to the Lord. Let us trust also in him. And let us believe that he shall bring it to pass. Amen. Well, unsurprisingly, we're going to sing part of Psalm 37 as we bring our service to a close. The tune It is St. Agnes Durham, number 136. And the stanzas we sing will be 3 to 6, and then also 9 to 10. Psalm 37, O set your trust upon the Lord, and only do what's good. Continue living in the land, make faithfulness your food. Joy in the Lord, and he will give your heart's desire, their desires to you. And here's David Livingstone's verse. Commit your way unto the Lord, trust him, he'll see it through. And like unto the light, he will your righteousness display. Your vindication he'll bring forth like noontide of the day. Rest in the Lord and patiently wait for him. Do not fret because of him who evil does, and still he prospers yet. And then verse stanza 9. For yet a little while, and then the wicked will not be. His place you will search out with care, but him you will not see. But for inheritance the earth, the meek ones will possess. They also will delight themselves in an abundant peace. And we sing these stanzas 3 to 6 and 9 to 10. We use the tune St. Agnes Durham at 136. We remain seated to sing, and then afterwards I'll close in the benediction.
Set your trust upon the Lord, and only do what's good. Continue living in the land. Make faithfulness your food. Joy in the Lord, and he will give your heart's desires to you. Commit your way unto the Lord. Trust him, he'll see it. And like unto the light, he will your righteousness display, your vindication he'll bring forth like noontide of the day. Rest in the Lord and patiently wait for him. Do not fret because of him who still he prospers yet. For yet a little while, and then the wicked will not be. His place you will search out with care, but him you will not see. But for inheritance the earth, the meek ones will possess. So will delight themselves in an abundant peace.
Now receive God's blessing. The grace of the Lord Jesus Christ, the love of God the Father, and fellowship of God the Holy Spirit be with you all. Amen.